Genesis chapter 18, I'd like to look at verses 16 through 21. Now, we had just looked last time at the Lord appearing to Abraham and relating to Abraham that he would have a son about the time of life this next year. This was when Sarah had laughed in her heart, and she said, shall I surely have a son at my age and my husband who's also old? And that was the message where we dealt with Abraham being a picture of our mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now this evening, that conversation of God's mercy is now come to an end. And now the Lord is getting ready to send these two angels into Sodom. And here's where we pick up. Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 21. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we call upon you this evening, we're so thankful that we can call you our Lord and our God. And Lord, I ask you to have mercy upon us. Lord, teach us. I pray you'd bless the word to our understanding. I pray that Christ be honored. Forgive us where we fail you. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask. Amen. The Lord has assured Abraham of a promised son. And in that blessed promise to give Abraham and Sarah a son according to God's will and purpose, covenant, grace, we behold the indescribable compassion and mercy of God. But now we're going to look at a few verses of scriptures that are going to reveal that God Almighty is a just God. He is just and will deal with sin. The scripture declares that God will in no wise clear the guilty. He is a Savior. So beholding the Lord as He is revealed in this book so far, this chapter so far, merciful, compassionate God to grant mercy to an undeserving sinner and his wife because it pleased him to do so. But now he's getting ready to send two angels into Sodom. The scripture says in verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Now, you know that I've often expressed the need to just look up the words. Look up these words in a good concordance to find out exactly what is being said. The Scripture says, and the men, that these two angels who took Abraham have taken on the form of a man. And they're men. They're men. Not only did they take on the form of men, they ate, they drank, sat down and conversed with Abraham and the Lord, Jehovah. But so when it refers to these two men, these are more than men. They're angels. That's what 19:1 says. And there came two angels to Sodom. So I know that they're created beings. But now these two angels now are being messengers of God, have a commission. They're going to go in to Sodom, and the Scripture says they rose up from thence. They were talking to Abraham. They rose up from thence, and the Scripture says, and looked toward Sodom. Now, just reading that at face value, but you'd say, well, they got up and they looked. But keeping with the context of our passage, the definition of those words, rose up and looked toward, are very revealing to give us some understanding as to the intent of the Lord in sending them to Sodom. Blue Letter Bible, which is a very, very good concordance, gives these definitions of these words. Rose up. They rose up. It means to rise, to stand, to rise up, stand up, but it has the meaning of, in a hostile sense, to become powerful. So the usage of that word, rose up, was first used in the book of Genesis. It was when Cain rose up against Abel. That'll give you a sense of what it means, rose up against him. And then the second part of that, the action of those angels, it said they looked toward. It means to lean out, like leaning out of a window. By implication, to gaze. To be looking downward or against. And so, with the words used, it said, the word looked there, I tell you when it was used again. Whenever the Egyptians were coming after the nation of Israel when they were in the desert, and as the Egyptians were coming, and this word looked right here, it said, and the Lord looked at the Egyptians as out of the pillar of the cloud. That look, that's the word. It's not just a guy, I'm looking at you. I can see you. This word rose up and looked has got the implication of these men are going to Sodom for a specific reason. They rose up, that word again, to stand, meaning in a hostile way, a hostile sense, and becoming powerful and looking toward. It is to look toward, to look down upon. That kind of look. So these two men rose up and looked toward, or looked downward to Sodom with a gaze of knowledge concerning the reason for their visit. You know the story. They're going to get in there and they're going to end up telling Lot, you got to get out of here. We're going to destroy this place. We're going to destroy this city. God is not going to send the fire from heaven until we get you out. We've got to get you out first. So these men are going with a specific mindset. They're going. They know why they're going. So the Scripture says that the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Now that Abraham went with. There's the word we're looking for. He went with them, that is, in fellowship or companionship, to bring them on the way. So Abraham surely, based upon the conversation, because I know you know the story so well, our Lord willing, next week we're going to look at a conversation that begins actually in verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" So Abraham knew. He knew what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew why the Lord had sent. Because we're getting ready to see something right here where the Lord is saying, "I'm not going to hide anything from Abraham." So knowing the story as we know it, I'm just bringing out points. Abraham was aware of what was going on. And so when Abraham was said to go with them, that means in fellowship or in companionship. He knew basically what was taking place. He knew something of the wickedness of Sodom, and he walked with the two, walked with them in submission to that which the Lord would surely bring about. He was going to bow to whatever the Lord was pleased to do. So he went with them. He wasn't trying to do anything other but be in companionship with them. So in the next few verses, there's going to be a precious relationship that's revealed between the Lord and the vessel of His choosing and mercy. And so the Lord is going to reveal not only to Abraham that which He's purposed to do, but He's also going to reveal why He's going to reveal. Now listen to verse 17. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Now, here we can only admit as to the reason why the Lord was teaching Abraham His pleasure to send these two angels. We know that the Lord is saying, I'm not going to hide from Abraham what I'm doing. The reason the Lord was going to tell Abraham what He was going to do primarily was because it pleased Him to do so. It pleased the Lord to reveal to Abraham. Abraham was a sinner, saved by the grace of God, but a sinner that was loved of God, and therefore taught of God. Luke 10:21. "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Your sight." So I know why. Primarily, this is the reason, because God was pleased to. Deuteronomy 29:29. "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So the Lord doesn't owe any man the right to know His will. God doesn't owe that to anyone. Why, Job 33:13, "Why dost thou strive against Him? For He giveth not account of any of His matters." The Lord's not under any obligation to show any man the reason for what He does. He's not any obligation to tell us the methods of His works. If God is pleased to reveal anything to anybody, it's for His glory and our good. The Scripture says, Daniel 4:35, "He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand," or saying to Him, "What doest thou?" So He does what He will, with whom He will, as He will, and no one has the right to ask Him why. No one has the right for God to give them an explanation, but the Lord knew best. That's what I can conclude. The Lord knew best to teach Abraham of His will, to deal with Sodom as He would, and to fail to tell Abraham what he would do would be against the will of the Lord. So the Lord knew that the knowledge of what he was going to do in Sodom would be good for Abraham, because he's going to tell us something in just a minute. As I said, the primary reason for God revealing anything is because it pleased him to do so. That's good enough right there. But God's going to give a reason for speaking to Abraham. The scripture declares, verse 17 again, shall I hide anything from Abraham, that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, it's what the Lord said. Abraham will, without fail, be found faithful. And he's going to be a consistent father to command his household. And that's what he's saying. Verse 19, I know him. He will command his children, his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice, judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. He said his household is surely going to keep the way of the Lord. You can say those are wonderful and marvelous promises. And they are sure, according to God's Word. But that promise was given to Abraham as a type of another. That promise was made in its entirety. Now, concerning Abraham, the Lord, through Abraham and his seed, his children, whoever out of Abraham's posterity were the Lord's, they will hear the gospel. God will call them out. And any consistency that we see in Abraham himself will be owing totally to the good pleasure of God, who keeps us by the power of God, through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. So any faithfulness that we see in Abraham, faithful is he who calleth you, who will also do it. So where's the power coming from when we're talking about Abraham being faithful? In Abraham? No, not in Abraham. The Lord said, without me you can do nothing. I am not under any circumstances doubting that Abraham was a good father. I'm not doubting that he desired his family to walk in the way of the Lord. But knowing the nature of men, this promise can only be made to one who of himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, will surely command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The one in whom all the nations of the world are surely going to be blessed with spiritual blessings. The one that God knows. That's what the Lord told him. Verse 19, I know him. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one that said, As I know the Father knoweth me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Abraham is a type of our blessed Lord and Savior. Now this promise was a promise according to God's covenant of grace and mercy. That was that covenant that was revealed to Moses in Exodus 33:19. Show me your glory. The Lord said, I'll have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. That promise right there. So knowing when the Lord is speaking right here, He's talking to to Abraham. But listen to these promises. I'm going to read 17 to 19 one more time. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see these words and you can see Him now. And the Lord said, verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Okay, now who did I say substitute? The Lord Jesus Christ. Shall I hide from my servant, my beloved son, the mediator? Shall I hide anything from him? Hold your place right here and turn over to John 15:15. Now here's an amazing passage of scripture. John 15:15. The Lord speaking. Now remember, back in Genesis 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And looking at Abraham there as a type of Christ. Listen to what the Lord said in John 15:15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. All things that I have heard of my Father. Now, behold the humility of the servant of Jehovah. Behold the submission of Christ Jesus the Lord. He himself speaking says, the source of those things that I have heard as the mediator. Now, as God, as the omniscient God, he's taught nothing. He is God Almighty. Listen to Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. So what will he ever learn? Nothing. He's God. God omniscient. But as back in Genesis 18:17, when the Lord is speaking, and here's a picture now of this covenant. Shall I hide anything from Abraham, my servant? Shall I hide from Christ? According to God's everlasting covenant of grace, here is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, I can believe this by faith, but it just still, when I speak of His humanity, Neil, it just, I think, Lord, as you say it is, it is. It is. As the scripture says, He grew, He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know what that means? He increased in wisdom. In stature, in favor with God and man. He said, the things that I tell you, the things that I've heard of my Father, in His submission unto the Father, as the man, Christ Jesus, shall I hide from Abraham, seeing that Abraham, seeing that Christ, shall surely become a great and mighty nation. We just looked last Sunday. I'm not going to preach last Sunday's message. You know, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That nation of His people. He shall become a great, mighty nation. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in Him. All the nations, Jew and Gentile, out of every nation, kindred and tribe, to all of them going to bless. For I know Him. I know Him. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. I know Him. He will command His children, His household after Him. They shall keep the way of the Lord. Why? Because He's going to keep them. To do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham, that He might bring upon Christ that which is spoken of Him as the mediator, as great high priest. But that beautiful picture of Christ, here we behold the great high priest before God, God unteachable, and God the man taught of God. He surely shall become this great nation. But then the scripture says in verse 20, and the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. And because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Here the Lord has revealed that there is a cry that has come up unto Him. The word is a shriek. A shriek. There's a cry or a shriek of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was great. That means that it was multiplied and cast together. Now, the writers that I was looking at the words, I can look at it, I can see what it says. It means shriek. The cry has come up to me. And whether or not that cry that has come up unto the Lord means either the crying or the prayer by Lot, whose righteous soul was vexed daily with the filthy conversation of the wicked, or, and you can turn over to Ezekiel 16:49-50, or whether that crying was actually the cryings of the inhabitants that we're going to read these two verses over, the poor and needy, who suffered at the hands of the filthy acts of others. But look, Ezekiel 16:49-50. Here's what the Scripture has to say. Behold, Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. The Lord has told Abraham, He said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. The cry of Sodom was great. Their sin, according to the Scriptures, was grievous. And the Lord said, I will now go down and see what is done. And He said, I'll know. The Lord deals with sin based upon His personal knowledge of that sin. When Almighty God sets forth and pours out judgment, it's fair. God knows. I'm going to go down now, and I'm going to see. These things that were taught to Abraham as a picture of our Lord, I began to think on this as I was coming to the end of my notes, and I thought, how marvelous it is that God would teach, I'm going to teach you something. I've shown you mercy and compassion to you and your wife. You see that I am a compassionate and merciful God. But I'm a just God. By God sending these two angels into Sodom and telling Abraham, I'm not going to hide anything from you. The cry of Sodom and Gomorrah has come up before me. Their sin is grievous. And I'm going to go in now. I'm going to go down now. And I'm going to see if these cries be so. Now, that's an amazing conversation, talking to a man, to omniscient God. But this is the word of Scripture. And I think to myself, he told this. He said, I'm not going to hide anything from Abraham, because Abraham is going to become a great nation. He's going to be blessed. Think of the mercy of God to teach any of us anything of the indescribable mercy of God and justice of God. I can say from these Scriptures right here, hearing what the Lord has said. I'm not going to hide anything from you. I'm going to tell you. But I can, without apology, without controversy, God has mercy on whomsoever He will have mercy. But I can tell you according to the Scriptures. Man, woman that leaves this world without Christ. Listen, according to these Scriptures, judgment is the only thing that's left. Why will you die? Why will you die? I pray God have mercy upon us this evening. Blessing the partaking of the Lord's table as we eat and drink together for His glory and our good. Amen.